Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day.
Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Martin Luther, the monk and professor turned reformer whom our denomination is named after, argued that the Word of God comes to us in three ways. The first is the way that many American Protestants likely expect. That is, the Word of God comes as the Holy Bible, our sacred scriptures. Many who focus on preaching and teaching about the Bible as the Word of God tend to focus on using the Bible as a sort of guidebook for life. For instance, they might teach on the seventh commandment and tell people not to steal. This would be a good lesson for the thief who stole my golf clubs the other night. Many thanks to Officer Barber and the Ronan Police Department for getting them back to me. The written Word of God is full of good rules for holy living and a healthy society, stories that inspire faith and trust in the Lord, instructions for the church and its leaders, and some kind of wild visions of what may be coming around the corner when Christ returns. The good book is full of good stuff. Now, the second way that the Word of God comes to us is in the form of the proclaimed Word. That is, when the gospel is preached over you for you to hear and heed. Interestingly for Luther, the proclaimed word was considered to be of even greater value than the written word of God. He believed that hearing the gospel proclaimed over you was more important than reading the good news by your lonesome. Now, perhaps this was reflective of the times in which he lived, because the vast majority of society, at least at that time, was illiterate and unable to understand the written word of God on their own, and especially illiterate in Latin. By sheer numbers, if only a small minority could read the written word of God, then it would follow that the proclaimed word of God would be of greater significance. Unlike the written word, for an illiterate public, the proclaimed word of God could be heard and understood by most of the congregants in Europe on any given Sunday and other times that the word was preached. Well, I am personally drawn, actually, to agree with Martin Luther's assessment that the proclaimed word is of greater significance than the written word of God. While all the ways that the Word of God comes to us are significant, even in our own time when over 90% of the U.S. population is now literate, I still believe that it is more significant to hear the Word of God preached than to simply read it by ourselves. For instance, it is one thing to read John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that whoever believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. It is another thing to hear somebody say to you, God loved you so much that he sacrificed everything to give you life and give it to you abundantly. You are loved. You are loved eternally. The proclaimed word should be held in high regard, even higher than scripture, for the gospel spoken from the tongues of believers gives the word even more life, even more purpose, and even more direction than when it is read from a page, a tablet, computer screen, or a phone. It is indeed a sacred duty of Christians to tell anyone who will listen how they are loved infinitely and abundantly by the God who came to save us. And we get a glimpse of the life that the proclaimed word of God gives to both the preacher and the hearer in our prophetic lesson from Isaiah for this week. The writer of Isaiah 50 declared, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word." Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The prophet knows what it is to proclaim the word of God and what it is to see people sustained by it. He describes his ability to preach the word as a gift that sustains even the weariest among us. More than that, he said that morning by morning the Lord would waken him as one inspired by God's goodness, truth, and love. As the word of God lives, so it would become alive again and again, daily, in the heart, mind, soul, and yes, in the proclamations of the prophet. In fact, the word of God proclaimed to and through the prophet would give him the courage to not only get up day after day, it would also give him the courage to turn his back to those who struck him, confront those who pulled out his beard, and look those who insulted and spit on him straight in the eye. In verse 7, the prophet tells us as much when he declared, "The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame." The word of God proclaimed to and through the prophet helped him to endure the slings and arrows of those around him. Though they would beat him, pull out his beard, spit on him, or troll him with an onslaught of insults, still he would not be put to shame because the Lord was at his back. Like those who heard him declare the profound encouragements of the Almighty, the prophet was bolstered by the word of God that was proclaimed as the foundation of his life. This brings us to the third and the most important way that the word of God comes to us. As the Son of God incarnate, Jesus of Nazareth. Like we hear in the first chapter of John, Jesus is the Word of God who was at the beginning with the Creator before all things were made. The Son of God came to us as a man from Nazareth, but was also the Word of God that is present with and for us everywhere and always. Jesus is the embodied Word of God, alive within our midst, walking with us, sharing in our sufferings, and bringing us to hope beyond any present struggles or setback. Greater than the written word or the proclaimed word is Jesus, the Son of God, who is himself the Word. He is the Word that stands above all others and above all things. While the written word can be threatened by fire and decay, and the proclaimed word is dependent on fallible preachers like yours truly, who often prove to only be too human, Jesus is the Word that never fails. Jesus is the Word that will always encourage, always inspire, always sustain. The Son of God is the Word that endures and endures perfectly. This week, beginning with the palms we waved this morning, we remember that this Word, the Son of God himself, was offered as a sacrifice for our sakes. The embodied Word of God in our world was not content to leave us to endure our own death and destruction, but offered himself as a sacrifice to save the world. He did not have to do this, but he chose to, for our sakes. It's kind of scandalous to think that the Word, the Son of God, would not spare himself and keep himself from suffering and suffocating. It is even more scandalous to forget that this is what the Word actually did for us. The powerful Word of God. So this week, this Holy Week, we remember together that the Word of God, in all its fullness, gave up everything so that we may have life and have it abundantly. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
I hope that you've enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.